You're listening to a feed of the Association of Music Podcasting at musicpodcasting.org.
In 2009, Irk went to the dark side and became a music podcaster. He discovered a wide, wide selection of music. Apart from Dozy Do by Julie the Band, it's now 2010 and Irk comes down the pipe and into your ears. Bigger, stronger and faster. Every Friday, it's Irk FM time. Now here's your host of Irk FM from Channel Irk, here's Irk.
G'day, I'm Irk, and welcome to episode 70 of Irk FM. Irk FM is my music podcast coming to you from Sydney, Australia, usually down the pipe and into your ears at the end of each week. But for the last few weeks, we've been having some interviews coming down the pipe and into your ears on Tuesday. And joining us via Skype from the UK is Adam from Inner Voices. G'day, Adam. How are you going?
G'day, how are you doing? Yeah, I'm fine, thanks.
Oh, that's.
And I was hoping you were going to invite me over to your studio.
Oh, mate, it'd be quite a trip at the moment, but considering that it's very, very early in the morning, my time, when we're recording it, it's still probably hotter at 1 o'clock in the morning here in Australia than what it is for you in the afternoon in the UK at the moment, I dare suggest.
That wouldn't be difficult at all at the moment, no. We've had lots of snow here.
So what part of the UK are you from?
I'm actually from the Liverpool area, but at the moment I live just north of Manchester, which is not too far away.
Oh, okay. So for the non-British listeners that I've got, and we've got a few either Australians or Americans, tell us a little bit about the Manchester area.
Yeah, well, I guess Manchester and Liverpool are pretty close to each other. They're only 30 miles apart. So there's quite a bit of overlap between the music scenes, and it's a pretty good area for the UK if you look at some of the bands and talent that's come out. So ever since I've been a child, say Liverpool's been a very big influence on my music, and then since being in Manchester, I've played in various bands here, so you get a bit of a feel for the music in the city as well.
Awesome. So when did you get interested in music?
Well, I've been interested in music since I was probably just out of nappies. So, I mean, I guess I started playing guitar and piano when I was 4 or 5 years old. And the whole of my school life has been involved in some sort of music, from classical music to school rock bands, including sort of singing competitions, that type of thing. So I've always been into music in quite a big way. The difference in the last, let's say, 5-6 years for me is the ability to be able to record at home, which makes a massive difference to the type of stuff that I want to do. So if I go back, 10 years ago, it's costing a lot of money to spend 1 or 2 days in a studio, and to me it wasn't enough time to develop the ideas I wanted to develop.
And so, just like me, how I'm recording basically at home, You're doing the same sort of thing music-wise. What sort of instruments are you currently using?
Well, I've always had good quality instruments. So I've got a decent electric guitar, it's a Fender Telecaster, which I really like at the moment. It's got kind of an 80s sound to it, which you'll probably hear in the tracks. And then I use basically a Roland controller keyboard and a drum kit as well, which to input the electronic signals, and you can use a software basically to generate all the different sounds that you need from that. So although it's, let's say, electronically recorded, the actual input is a human interface, and that's the important thing for me, is to make the music have some feeling and have some dynamics in it. So I would say most of the tracks that I put down actually are put in by myself first of all, and of course you're editing during the production phase.
So tell us about the name Inner Voices, and how come it's just you?
Well, Inner Voices is a name that I had in my school band. And to be honest, when I was starting to do this sort of solo stuff 3 or 4 years ago, I couldn't be bothered thinking of another name, so I decided to pick up the old name from school. So it's kind of stuck there. And I wanted to do that on the basis that if things sort of took off in a good way, I'd be able to create an act out of it, you know, with other musicians as well in the future. So I wasn't too keen on the name being a sort of my own name and a solo artist type look to it.
You know, Adam and the something, 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 something.
Yeah, like Adam and the Ants, you mean?
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, I wasn't too keen on that. I like the idea of just having a name that no one actually knew what the connection was. Yeah.
So do you miss not playing with other people, or do you manage to play with other people anyway?
Well, yeah, I must admit, I do miss that quite a bit. As I said, I've always played in bands, and you know, up until 5-6 years ago, I was playing in a Manchester band, and it's really good fun. What I have noticed is that since I've not played in a band, it's actually given me more time to create music. So I do actually play live, but I tend to do it unplugged with my acoustic guitar or maybe piano. So I miss the sort of the fun of playing, you know, in an act. But you know, I know for a fact for the last 2 or 3 years I've created a lot more higher quality music doing it this way, and that's really the aim at the moment, is to get to a point where I've got a whole album of the material.
So I like to ask the nerdy questions about music production. So we'll start with that. How long would it take you roughly to produce a song from when you first written it to when you're happy with it?
Okay, I think it depends on the type of track. I've done some tracks which have taken something like 3 or 4 months to do, from writing them to recording all the different parts. The last track which I've finished, which hopefully I'm going to release in March, called Impact Statement, is actually done in two parts, and it's been extremely complicated. And I actually started writing this about 14 months ago and started recording some parts of the tracks in March or April last year. So it's taken over a year to do this track, which some people might find unbelievable, but it's the amount of time it takes to learn all the different parts. I'm doing this myself. It's got some complicated piano parts in it, some very, you know, highly technical guitar parts. And also, to be honest, the vocal parts, you know, sometimes it can take me 2 months to train up for the vocals on these, because I tend to write them with quite a lot of range on them, as you'll probably hear.
And so that is a long time, but then again, you do say that it's just you and you've got other things that you have to do around it. You're not a musician 24/7.
No, and I think that's a big problem, is I would imagine if I was a full-time musician, possibly I could get tracks out, you know, maybe one every 2 or 3 months. But when you've got domestic duties and you've got to feed yourself, haven't you, and your family, you know, there's other things you have to do.
So how do you come across with your songwriting ideas?
That's a very, very good, good question. Some of the ideas I've actually had as probably as a teenager or at school, and never quite developed them. So quite often there's maybe something that I think about that I came about quite early on, and I'll try and develop that. You know, there's some ideas that are completely new, so it's difficult to say where they come from. And I tend to get, say, a sort of feeling for the type of track I want to produce before I start it, and what it's going to be about. So I may not have written the words for it, but I actually know what the subject is, what I'm thinking about, how I want it to feel before it even starts. But to actually say where it comes from is a bit difficult to answer, I think. Yeah.
So what comes first, generally, the music or the lyrics?
With me, definitely the music. And that, like I said, I know what I'm going to write about with the words, but unusual for me to have written words down before I've written the music. So I tend to have put some sort of tune together, some chord structures, and then maybe come up with some lines which sort of lead on. And it tends to develop from there. And part of the composing is actually during the production as well. So I might start putting a song together and then think I really don't like parts of that and drop bits of it. That can be the hard bit, is to be able to say to yourself, this doesn't sound right, and cut bits out that you've composed. And then that quite often happens towards the last few weeks of developing it back on the recording.
So I often ask this question for both songwriters and book authors that I interview from time to time. Are you the sort of person that carries around a notebook, or they might be sleeping and then at 3 a.m. in the morning, as opposed to 3 a.m. in the afternoon, of course, they'll have a notepad and they'll get out of bed and write an idea down?
Right. That's something that I try not to do. Unless I'm really at the final stage of writing words, it's the only time I'd write things down. Because what I find is, if I write something down, it tends to stick too much. And to me, if the idea is good enough, I remember it. And what I often find is, if I've thought of an idea and it's okay but not brilliant, I tend to forget about it, which is probably a good thing. So I only actually write stuff down once I'm absolutely sure that I really like what I've done. But you're right, yeah, I do sometimes wake up in the middle of the night when I've been working on something and think of a solution to a problem maybe that I'm trying to sort out.
So let's hear a track now. And why don't you introduce Surveillance State for us?
Okay, this is a track which I finished 12 months ago. It's been on a number of radio stations worldwide, and has also sold quite a number of CDs privately through my own website. And once again, this track took quite a long time to produce. It was about 6 or 7 months, and it's a real blend of electro and rock music. So it's got some good hard guitar riffs in it for my Fender Telecaster, mixed in with some nice complex keyboard parts. And rightly so, people have pointed out it's got quite a bit of an 80s feel to it, but I think it's also got some pretty modern elements in it as well.
So here we are on IRC FM. This is Inner Voices with Surveillance State. You're listening to IRC FM episode 70, and on the line we have Adam from Inner Voices, and we've been talking about some songwriting and production techniques for his music. Now let's talk a bit about live shows. You were talking a bit earlier about performing live. Do you perform live often?
It's not a lot. I tend to do some live stuff once every two months or so. Like I said, the last year or so it's mainly been unplugged music, so it's been acoustic guitar maybe and me singing, which, you know, having played in bands, I find playing unplugged is actually more nerve-wracking than playing in a band, which you could probably imagine.
So is it hard to get gigs around where you are? Is it really hard to get in, especially as a solo person, or is that easier?
To be honest, I've not really had a problem with trying to find gigs. Difficulty for me is finding the time to get to do them. Because if I'm doing an acoustic act, it's very, very different than the music I'm recording. As you can imagine, a lot of the music it has lots of different types of guitar and keyboard on there. When you're doing an acoustic track, you've got to completely develop the song. So it does actually take a bit of time for me to get some songs together to do the live stuff. But I quite enjoy it, and I think it's good for me as well to keep it up.
So on the day of a gig, how do you prepare yourself? Do you prepare yourself mentally and physically for it?
Yeah, I do. I'm pretty careful about what I drink if I'm playing a gig, because I find drinking things like strong coffee, etc., can affect my voice. So I tend to be drinking a lot more water and sort of Ribena and things like that, blackcurrant juice. And generally, yeah, it is also to be able to warm up a little bit beforehand so that you're psyched up for it. You've got to remember all your words as well, so that can be quite difficult as well. It's very different in recording where you may be concentrating on certain parts of a song.
Because you're basically the one-man band, you're playing and you're also singing, do you find yourself sometimes losing concentration and just concentrating on one or the other?
Yeah, I mean, going back to recording myself, one of the most difficult things I found is that you can spend so much time looking at the detail of the track, you can sometimes lose sight of what's the important thing about the track. I've been very lucky in the last 12 months or so to have help from a pretty well-known record producer called Fran Ashcroft. I'd seen an advert of his in the press looking for interesting artists to work with. So I'd sent him a demo CD off the stuff I'd done, and he basically turned around and said, yeah, they sound really great, these tracks, but the recording sounds dreadful. And I was a bit upset when I read that, but when I found out that he'd worked with some pretty famous people like Damon Albarn and stuff, I decided to eat humble pie. So what I've been doing with him is, once I got to a fairly late stage in recording, I'll send him off the track, let him listen to it, and he's pretty good at picking out things that are wrong, things that stick out, like a sore thumb, which maybe I've not noticed.
That's the thing, because you're continually recording, you're continually playing and going over and over again, sometimes it's good to have a fresh set of ears.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's been very, very important for me in the last few tracks that I've done, and I think it's paid off as well, because people can see there's a lot more sort of professional feel to it once it's been listened to by someone who's got the right ears.
So how have things like social networking, things like Facebook, Twitter, MySpace and the like, how have those sort of things helped you?
Well, I use MySpace mainly. I think MySpace has always been quite good for the music side. And it's been great to get contacts in radio stations. People, who are working on the radio can listen straight away to the type of stuff that you've got before you send them a CD. So quite a lot, you're not wasting so much time. So it's been great for the contact point of view. As I said, I mainly use MySpace, and I know there's sort of fashions to go away to Facebook and etc. But I've also got to be careful that you don't spend too much time, on the social networking sites and less time actually writing your music. So that's kind of a bit of a difficult balance you've got to put in place.
And again, it's a lot harder because you are by yourself. You can't can't necessarily delegate the MySpace or the Facebook or the Twitter or whatever, you know, dealing with people like Rob from Juice Management and Promotion. You can't delegate that to someone else if you are everything.
Yeah, absolutely right. And that's where you've got to make, you know, you've got to make some sort of balance there, because it will be quite easy to spend most of your time actually trying to promote stuff that you've done and then forgetting to write anything else new. So, I try to, you know, at least dedicate some time to, you know, talking to people, talking to radio stations, etc., and doing this type of thing. But you've got to put time aside to, which is solely just for doing music and recording and thinking about ideas.
Awesome. So let's talk a little bit about the new EP. What's the story?
Well, the new EP, it's called Impact Statement, and it's actually it's been influenced by street violence that we see around us. Maybe you don't have so much in Australia, but we do have a particular problem in some of the cities here with younger people and carrying knives, etc. And it was really influenced by a couple of cases that I'd read about, where the person who'd attacked seemed to be completely emotionally detached from the devastation that they'd caused the families. And the whole main track for this EP is written around that, and it involves two parts. There's a song with some quite hard-hitting words in it, and then there's a sort of orchestral-type rock piece at the end of the track, which gives a bit of feel for the type of influence of going into this track. And also on the EP will be two tracks which you possibly already heard, which I finished halfway through last year. One's called Bend Your Mind, and the one's called Stay in the Light. And they're all connected to the theme, basically, the EP.
So have you got in contact with any victims groups or anything like that in relation to promoting the cause?
Well, there's two things that are going on with this. One is I'm in contact with a very talented young guy who makes films. He's I've seen something that he's done which is exactly on the same sort of wavelength as this track, and he's going to develop his video around the music to go with this. And in the meantime, I was approached by a group working in the Liverpool area, which is basically supporting victims and also trying to encourage young people not to carry knives and not to get involved in this type of thing. And you know, I've offered the support of this to their cause. So you know, obviously I'm let's say very enthusiastic about anyone using this music for something positive.
That's excellent, mate. That's really good. So that will be released very, very shortly, as this show is released, of course. How can we find more about you on the interweb? How can we get in contact?
Well, the best place to look is on my MySpace page. It's the one that I keep updated with blogs regularly, and also keep, you know, most of the new tracks on there. And so the best thing is to search. You can search for Inner Voices on MySpace. You'll find me quite easily that way. The actual address is myspace.com/AdamDBrierley, which is BRIERLEY. So I've still kept my name in the address.
And that's all right. I'll put a link on the show notes. Briefly talk me through one of the blogs that I was reading a bit earlier in relation to the radio industry over there.
Oh, right. This is the one regarding, I guess we were talking about independent radio, you know, whether it's able to play independent music.
Yes.
This is the one, yeah, okay. I've written quite a lot of blogs, so, yeah, I think there was an interesting article I wrote about how difficult it is for independent musicians to break onto the bigger scene in radio, because a lot of it's... is controlled obviously by the larger record labels and playlists, etc. And I was talking, I think, on this blog that you're thinking about is we obviously have the BBC, and we're very lucky to have the BBC here because it's supposedly not commercially influenced. that means it should be able to play a lot more independent music based on its merit and not on what the size of the company is backing it. And so really I was trying to encourage the BBC to use its powers to do that, because there's a lot of very good music around which is completely underplayed on the radio. We can understand the commercial radio stations obviously wanting to play commercial pop music, etc., which is pushed by the record companies. They're obviously paid for it. But I think the BBC's got no excuse to do that.
So finally, before we hear a couple of tracks from the new EP, what are the plans for you for the rest of the year and beyond?
Well, I've basically written all the material now which I need for my first album. So I'm really concentrating this year on finishing the production on three or four other tracks, which have been only done in demo format so far. In terms of writing, I'm actually starting writing something a little bit more complicated. So it's more, say, I don't like using this term, but more classical type bass music. And I said I'm not quite sure how that's going to turn out at the end, but it's probably going to be a year-long project, this one, to do.
Awesome. So we'll introduce the CD, the first track off the EP.
Okay, so this is the title track of my new EP, which will be due out in March, and hopefully will be available on iTunes and all the main internet shops. The title is Impact Statement. It's split into two parts, this track. There's a song called Poison Town, and then there's a second part of the track which is called Virtual Cut. The track's 7.5 minutes long, and is already going down very well with a number of review sites at the moment.
Awesome. So we'll play them right now. Adam, thank you for joining us, mate. Been an absolute pleasure, and good luck with the release of the EP.
Okay, and thank you very much for inviting me on. It's been great talking to you.
No worries. Here we go with the tracks from the new EP. More information can be obtained about this interview on the show notes at www.erkfm.com. On behalf of Adam and myself, good night, Interweb.
There's a cut by your face. We'll be right back.
You have been listening to a Channel Irk production. Channel Irk and all five podcasts are licensed under a Creative Commons non-commercial, non-derivative, share-alike license registered in Australia. Music is used with direct permission or under agreements with various music providers. All rights to the music contained within remains with the original rights holder. Some sound effects are sourced from the Free Sound Project under Creative Commons. For more information about Channel Irk, go to www.channelirk.com.